Hey guys, welcome back. It's another edition of Pop Culture Network Radio here at PopCultureNetwork.com. As always, I am your host, Dirt, and today we're going to be talking toys, we're going to be talking maybe some comic books, we're going to talk a little bit about pro wrestling, yes, because I know how some of you guys absolutely hate it, and we're going to talk about how some of you guys absolutely hate it as well. We got some fun stuff to talk about, but first, I think what I want to do is I want to explain a few things, because we have had some questions. A few people have sent me emails or posted messages on YouTube or posted in the forum or whatever, and they want to know just some stuff that's going on. So we're going to do a little bit of house cleaning here and take care of some of this stuff. I guess it's housekeeping, house cleaning, I don't know, whatever you'd want to call it. But first thing first, we finally got keys to our new location for Pop Culture Network HQ, Killin' Enterprises. We were supposed to get them like a couple weeks ago, and lawyers. So we finally got the keys now, so we can start construction on the building. And Kill and I have been discussing maybe doing a special episode of the show, kind of give you a tour of the new place. Maybe we've got a couple toys or whatever that we have to review. Maybe we could talk about on there. But finally have the keys to look in there, and it's funny because it's actually a lot bigger than I thought. You know, we had talked about the measurements of square footage and, you know, this much space versus that much space and this, that, whatever, but actually looking at the space, actually, you know, seeing the inside and seeing the back and all the space, there's a break room. There's actually a separate break room in there. The dressing rooms are actually bigger than I thought, and they're more involved than I thought. They're deeper than I thought. So we just have a ton of space now. So that's going to be great. Looking forward to playing around with some of that stuff. So look forward to that in a couple weeks. The store is set to open in the new location January 1st. Originally, the idea was to do it by December 1st. Now it'll be by January 1st. Open in the new location. So a little delay, but this delay of a month, not as bad as the last delay we had, which was from June through basically now. So we can look forward to taking care of some of that. And yes, the show is back this week. I was gone last week. I didn't do it. I've been fighting colds and everything just like everybody else. Everybody in my family had it first, and I thought I had gotten away without catching it. And then last week it reared its ugly head, and I did my best to medicate myself for 24 hours and try to get through it as quickly as I could. But yes, there was no show last week, although I still plan on doing a show this week. One of the things I want to talk about, well, this week, obviously I'm doing this week. I mean, next week, geez, for Thanksgiving. I can't get a break with you people. All right, next week, Thanksgiving, day after Thanksgiving, doing a show. It's Black Friday is when I'll be recording it. And so basically, I want you guys to email, tweet, leave me a voicemail, whatever. Email dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Send me a tweet @PCN_dirt on the Twitters. Or send me a voicemail. It's area code 217-953-4025. That's our 24-hour voicemail line. I want to know, are you guys buying anything for Black Friday? Like, do you have plans to go get anything? Is there anything particular you're looking for? Or if you're out and about on Black Friday and you happen to catch the deal of the century, you happen to find the best thing for Black Friday, then go ahead, write in, tweet, leave a voicemail, let me know. I'll be doing it late in the day on Black Friday, late Friday night. So, you know, you've got time during the day. If you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you stand in line at Best Buy so that you get like an 87-inch flat screen TV for $250, let me know. I want to hear some of those stories. And also, maybe, I guess, if you got something from a few years ago, something that was a tremendous deal or some crazy story from waiting in line or something, then you can go ahead and pass that along, because I'd like to hear that. Okay, another thing we need to talk about here is some people are wondering why Pop Culture Network Radio is ending up on YouTube. Most of you will catch the show through Podbean. You've subscribed through Podbean and you download the MP3s that way. Or you're in iTunes and it downloads the file from iTunes directly to your iPhone or your iPod or your iPad or your iPood or whatever you call it. But we have been putting the shows on YouTube, where basically I just throw up some sort of static image, Pop Culture Network logo or picture of Hulk Hogan or something like that. And I throw it up on YouTube, and people have been wondering, like, why is this radio show appearing on the YouTube channel? And it's quite simple, because a lot of people just get their stuff through YouTube. They don't want to mess around with going through iTunes. They don't want to mess around with Podbean. They don't want to mess around with MP3s. So we put it on YouTube, and they just open up the YouTube app on their smartphone, or just open the window on their computer, and they stream it from there, and that's fine. If people want to get it that way, we can get it that way. So we just added that as another means of getting the show out there for people to listen to it. Some people have said, well, why don't you put up pictures during the thing, and why don't you add this and do that, and maybe film yourself while you're sitting down and recording the show. And that's all stuff that maybe at some point down the line we could do. Maybe after we get the studio set up, if things are working out, maybe I'll be recording the shows in the Pop Culture Network studio in our new building. Once that gets taken care of, and maybe we'll film that and put that as the video on YouTube, and then have the audio recording going out, kind of like what we used to do with It Figures. Once that one became a video show, I mean, that's possible. I'm not going to make any promises, but that's something that might happen. But yeah, it's just some people want to grab their smartphone. Every Android phone has a YouTube app, so you can just open up YouTube and they can listen to it that way through their phone and or their tablet, whatever it may be. So, fine. I just decided to do that because some people mentioned it, and it seems to work out pretty well. So no problem with that. Having said that, though, putting it on YouTube, it's funny because, 600 people will download the podcast on Podbean, and another, I don't even know what the iTunes numbers are. It's probably twice that. I hate going into iTunes. I just hate dealing with it. I don't even remember my password half the time. I have to reset it every time I log in. Whatever. People listen to it through iTunes, but nobody ever leaves feedback because it just downloads to their MP3 player and they take it off somewhere else and listen to it. So YouTube is the one place where it seems like people listen to it, and because it's YouTube and because it's on the website where they're so used to leaving comments, that people leave comments there. And it's amazing, doing a show that goes through our regular audio channels is targeting people who directly subscribe. Very few people are just kind of spinning the wheel of podcasts and they happen to download Pop Culture Network Radio, but people on YouTube searching for keywords will just randomly run across a show. People who have never listened to it before will suddenly find one and start listening. And you get a lot of weird comments from people and messages from people saying things that you would never expect to hear. Or at least, I guess, you wouldn't expect to hear any place other than YouTube, because that's just the troller's paradise. So there are a couple things here. We'll just go ahead and talk about some of this stuff real quick. And first up, somebody basically was upset that we're doing a show that talks about professional wrestling. I know, normally we do like toy stuff, we do some comic book stuff, we do some video game stuff. Scotty Cash has, 20,000 DVD reviews every week of random stuff that he gets in the mail. So we cover a whole bunch of stuff, but how dare we cover a TV show? Professional wrestling, that's on the television set. How dare we cover that? Because professional wrestling, it doesn't have the same, mature sensibilities as Transformers or G.I. Joe or Batman comic books. Apparently, professional wrestling is just so much more juvenile than Captain America graphic novels. Like, I don't understand that mindset that some of these people have where, how dare you, dare you soil my toy talk with your childish look at this fake sport on television? Get over it. The reason why we cover a lot of the wrestling is because people on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and on the Pop Culture Network forums want to talk about professional wrestling. It's one of the topics they want to cover. So it's one of the topics that I covered doing the show. And so if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you are not a comic book person, do you tune in and to listen to the toy news and it's like, oh, talking about a Batman action figure is one thing and that's okay, but how dare he actually talk about a Batman comic book? He is ruining this podcast. I don't get it. So anyway, sucks to be you, I guess, because people leave feedback for it, people want to talk about it, and so I cover it. So there you go. Second thing here, just to bring up briefly, is there was someone very upset that I would even discuss TNA. How I would even bring it up. It's trash. TNA is trash. How dare you? If you're going to talk about wrestling, then talk about WWE, but how dare you talk about TNA wrestling? Which, again, it's, you know, whatever. Somebody asked me the question why I watch TNA and I don't watch WWE anymore. And it was, you know, it's just a simple answer. It's like, I got tired of WWE. It's very repetitive. I'm tired of watching guys like Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan and Zack Ryder, and even to a degree, guys like CM Punk, how they get this push kind of pulled out from underneath them. I hate how they Triple H will throw himself in there again and again and again and again. And so I just got tired of it and I stopped watching. I needed a break. 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, hour of main event. It was just, you know, too much. So I stopped. But at no point in that discussion did I ever once say, you cannot watch WWE. I never once said, it is wrong for you to watch WWE and you have to ban yourself from watching WWE just like I have. Never said that. Never even came close. Didn't even hint at it. Because quite frankly, if you want to watch it, watch it. I don't care. I still talk about WWE. Excuse me. I still cover the news of WWE. Something big happens. One of the things we're going to talk about today is the WWE Network. We've got some details on the WWE Network and some of the projections and things they're saying about that. So I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm not completely hands off with WWE and saying that you must be also. It's just I'm tired of their TV product. I want something to change. They need to do something to spice it up, and I just haven't been seeing a lot of that lately. So for me, I just decided to take time off. I don't care if you watch it, but you know, why are you mad that I'm watching TNA? Like, I don't even get that. Like, if I want to watch it, I'll watch it. What do you care? You know what I mean? It's like, how is that impacting you? I want WWE to dominate the world, but how dare this fat guy on this one internet radio show keep talking about the competition? All right, Vince, stop trolling YouTube, I guess, is the only thing I can add to that. So, you know, it's like, I talk about the stuff that gets feedback. And I get, every time I talk about wrestling, it gets feedback. Every time I talk, when I did the Survivor Series special, talking about Survivor Series, you know, got feedback from lots of people who enjoyed that, and they talked about their own favorite Survivor Series matches and, you know, sparked some good discussion. So there you go. You know, that's why I do it, because I get the feedback from, if nobody ever replied or commented about it, then wrestling wouldn't be covered on this show. But it does. So there you go. One other thing is occasionally I bring up some toy news. And someone will say, well, I heard you talked about this, but why didn't you talk about that? You talked about, you know, G.I. Joe Club figures, you know, but you never discussed the whatever G.I. Joe special variant, that whatever. It's because I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, I don't know the story. If I had seen the news, then I probably would have discussed some of that stuff. I just pretty much talk about what I find interesting and some of the stuff that I'm looking forward to and some of the stuff that I just want to talk about. And so that's why I talk about it. And that's really all there is to it. So if there is something in particular that you think needs to be discussed, that you want to have some sort of discussion on, if you've got comments on something, don't wait for me to bring it up so that you can respond to it. Send me that email. dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Let me know about the toy news that you want to talk about. Let me know about the stuff that's happening in comics that you think is important that needs to be discussed. Let me know about that video game thing that you want to talk about. And, yes, I know, PS4, Xbox One out there. We can talk about that a little bit. A couple weeks ago, I said I was going to talk about a video game, and I forgot to get to it. So we'll hopefully I'll remember this week before I run out of time or interest or energy or whatever. But that's just how it works, is that I have to read it. I have to know it in order to bring it up. And I have to remember it. I mean, that's the other thing. It's got to be big enough that I remember. Like, oh, yeah, I need to pull up that story and discuss that a little bit. So, again, if there's something specific that you want covered, toys, video games, movies, wrestling, comic books, whatever it is, then send me an email, let me know, and I'll make sure to cover it. Or send me a tweet. Tweet me. Hit me up on the Twitters, and I'll do my best to cover it and add it to the show. Because that's what this show is here for, you guys, excuse me, to feedback. Now, if your feedback is just, you know, the bitching and whining because you're a child and you think you're entitled to everything, then, you know, piss off. But for everybody else, glad you're here. Nice to talk to you. All right, let's get into some of the toy news here. We've ranted enough. 16 minutes into the show. Let's move on. DC Comics Supergirl New 52 Art FX Plus statue. Before they had announced that this was going to be a February release, they have announced that they are pushing this forward into January. I'm looking forward to this. This is my first Art FX Plus purchase that I'm making. I do have the CoverGirl's Supergirl statue. I've always liked Supergirl. Just one of those characters. Superman, Supergirl, Crypto, Streaky the Cat, you know, whoever in the Superman family. I've just always enjoyed them. So I'm looking forward to getting this statue and adding it to the collection. I've never had an Art FX Plus statue before, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how well it looks in reality versus the promotional pictures. But again, moving it forward to January 2014, so that's coming out a little bit sooner. We have a Hong Kong-based company called 3Zero. They have announced that they are making some RoboCop 2014 figures. Let's see. They said they have a teaser for Ed 209, a new version of Ed 209 from the movie. It is a 1/6 scale figure. If you go to their Facebook page, which is, I'm trying to get it to pull up now, and of course now it won't. I think it's just 3Zero, T-H-R-E-E-Z-E-R-O. The teaser that they show for the Ed 209 is, it looks like a wireframe kind of mock-up, showing you just kind of like, you know, a black and white look of the figure. The side view of the Ed 209 is remarkably like the original one, the original Ed 209 from the first set of movies. You know, really, when you look at it front on, the main body that sits up top, it's less rounded, it's more flat, looks more like a modern jet cockpit, as opposed to the old one, which was just kind of like this big, like, killer whale, they called it. So this is much more of like a realistic take on a military piece of hardware, you could say. So it looks interesting. There's no prices or anything like that. This is just a teaser that this company, 3Zero, is going to be making stuff for the new RoboCop movie. So you can look forward to that. So that'll be coming next year. Mediacom has announced the Real Action Heroes Batman Dark Knight Returns figure. Let's break that up again. Real Action Heroes, that's the line. Batman is the character. Dark Knight Returns is the story he was in. Figure. So, there you go, figure. This one will be coming. It's a 1/6 scale figure, and it looks like what they've done, I'm guessing this is the Real Action Heroes line, is that the body is built underneath the suit. It's... Hey, my Simpsons Tapped Out is ready to play. I'm glad that popped up right now. The body underneath the suit is you know, poseable. It's got articulation, but when they put the clothes on, the costume, the suit on top of it, it covers all the joints. Excuse me. So he looks to have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, at least 12 points of articulation. Probably more when you get into some of those joints. Probably have like 2 in the elbows and the shoulders, not just 1. But the costume sits on top, so no matter how you have him posed, you don't have any of those exposed joint cuts like you get on a regular action figure. So it definitely looks really cool. Cloth cape, not big on cloth capes, you know, especially since the rest of it does kind of have this like vinyl plastic look to it. Instead, it's like a velvety cloth cape, but you know, whatever. It still looks really, really cool. And it's Dark Knight Returns, and that's one of the best Batman stories of all time. Next up, Pacific Rim Toys. NECA is coming out with Series 3 of their 7-inch figures. Pacific Rim, it's funny because Pacific Rim, you know, it didn't do that well in theaters. It's done really good on home video. It's becoming one of those, like, cult classic hits. And it's like, it just won't go away. Like, it won't die. You know, it's doing a lot better than they thought it ever would, especially with this merchandising. Everybody really likes it. March, they will be coming out with 4 new figures. You're getting the Cherno Alpha, the Coyote Tango. They're almost 8 inches tall, a little bit bigger than before. You've got a Trespasser. In concept stage, it was known as Axe Head, and you still might see that version as at a later date, they say. And the remaining Series 3 is a new and improved Knife Head with battle damage, over 50% larger than the Series 1 version. And they do have a comparison shot. You can find this from NECA. They tweeted it out. If you check at NECA_toys, you can find they've got the shot of the original Series 1 and the new one side by side, and the new one basically towers over the old one, even though it's supposed to be in the same scale. They're basically saying they cheaped out the first time around, and now this time they're going to do it right. So you can look forward to that kind of cool stuff. One other piece of toy news here. E-Hobby announced a new collaboration with Takara Tomy Mall. They are doing Transformers Cloud Guardians of Time. And basically, they are doing a Classics Optimus Prime and a Generations Megatron in a new deco, new set coming out. Each one is going to be about $60 US, $5,900 yen. The pre-order is starting November 22nd, so today, through January 6th. And basically, they're taking the Revenge of the Fallen Bludgeon, who's like the samurai, like the tank that turns into the samurai guy, and they're basically reworking that, adding a Megatron head, and making that into this new version of Megatron. And then that Classics Optimus Prime, the one that was the... It was the shorter long nose cab, I guess is the best way to describe it, and it had that little... like windbreaker on the top. I don't know, wind vane, I don't know what you call it, that flipped down onto his back. They've released it as Optimus Prime, as an Ultra Magnus, as a, what's the black Optimus Prime? I forget what his name is. He's all black and purple. Metal Mouth, Metal, I don't remember. But anyway, they've released it in several different color variations. Now they're going back and giving it more of a G1 look, toned down on the silver, more of the pop of the red and blue like you'd imagine. And then the Megatron, it's going to have that look. I remember a Megatron from several years ago where he was the tank, and when you transformed him, he looked like a samurai Megatron, and he kind of has that look to him. With that classic head that you've come to expect for Megatron. So both of those, $60 US a piece, which for those type of, you know, collectible, bigger figures, you know, that's about the price that you'd expect to pay for some of those bigger figures. So anyway, we are going to take a quick commercial break right now. And I say commercial, and I don't mean commercial. I don't think we actually have any commercials. But it just means that the kids are upstairs yelling, and I can hear them fighting with each other. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back in just a minute. And we're back. Okay, so some time has passed. For you guys, it's going to be instantaneous like that, but some time has passed here. We had to regroup and try to fix a few things going on, but nonetheless, we are back and a couple things to talk about. First up, you know, PS4 and Xbox One going head-to-head this holiday season, both have launched now. And when PS4 launched, there were wide reports of problems. People are having the drive not working, the HDMI output not working, systems not powering on. And Sony said this was somewhere around, 0.4% of consoles shipped out, which makes it, several thousand consoles. But not a huge number technically altogether. But when this was happening, all of the Xbox fanboys started coming out of the woodwork, laughing and giggling and pointing, look at Sony. Sony can't do anything right. Ha 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 ha. Now the Xbox One has launched, and guess what? Xbox disk drives reports are coming out that they are not working. Systems are freezing. There's an endless cycle of crashing and rebooting. Some have gotten the E100 error notification indicating that an update has caused a total hardware failure. Someone's headset is outputting nothing but static. There are other people with stuck pixels, frozen screens, blah, 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 blah. Broken controllers with the Xbox One. Somebody has gotten their Xbox One and the controller doesn't work out of the box. There are videos on YouTube of people sliding the disc into the tray and it making a grinding noise and refusing to recognize the disc. So it's happening, and it looks almost as much, if not maybe even a little bit more, on Xbox One as well as the PS4. So, make of it what you will, but that kind of just points back to that whole fanboyism. You pick one side over the other and you belittle the other people. The truth is, I'm a gamer. I love playing video games. I have a 360. I have a PS3. I have a Wii. I've got a Vita. I've got a 3DS. I've got a regular DS. I've got a tablet I play games on. I've got an Ouya. I've got, just all sorts of ways to play games. And the only thing that makes me buy one system over another system is that I don't have money for both. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, if someone walked up to me tomorrow and said, here's a PS4 and an Xbox One, I'd say, great, thanks. I wouldn't turn one of them away. And I work in a store where people trade in systems. So I get systems. I can get them dirt cheap. Pretty regularly. So, if someone comes in 6 months and they've got a system and we can, give them some low ball number and they go for it, maybe I'll come home with the system. I don't know. But it's just kind of one of those things where, people always fighting with each other. The main thing about PS3 versus 360 is that the PS3 did come to dominate my living room. It was the system that we played most of the time. We streamed all of our video from our media center to the TV through the PlayStation 3, the Blu-ray movies on the PlayStation 3. It worked for all of that stuff as an all-in-one machine. The 360 is great for my video on demand from Comcast Xfinity. You can play it on the 360, and it plays better on there than it does through my actual cable box. So that's one thing that the 360 has, going for it over the PlayStation 3. Although, just to throw in a little wrestling tidbit for you guys, PlayStation 3 has a live event viewer app now. And if you want to watch a WWE pay-per-view and you don't have the cable box for it, or your parents don't want you to order it and put it on the cable bill, you can use the live events app on the PlayStation 3 and actually order WWE pay-per-views, stream them through your PlayStation 3. So if you've got a PlayStation 3, like say in your bedroom, and you can't watch the pay-per-view on the main TV because other people in the family are watching something else, you can now watch those through your PlayStation 3 on your home TV and whatever other TV. And I'm assuming that that's something that's going to carry over to the PlayStation 4. Just kind of makes sense. Although PlayStation 4, they've said a lot of the capabilities for streaming your media from your media center through your TV hasn't been set up yet in the PlayStation 4. They focused on the games, and the games being the core of what they were, you know, really working towards when it came out. All of that stuff they plan to add later on, but they just didn't finish all of that right now. And that's got some Xbox One people saying, well, hey, Xbox One is the center of your digital world. You can do all of that stuff, except a lot of people are saying that on their Xbox One, some of that TV stuff is not working properly. Someone's just banging on my front door, so I'm going to run over here and check that out. So again, I'm going to pause, and I will be right back. And we're back. Okay, that's instantaneous for you guys. It's been about 4 hours for me, and that was my son's friend, 8-year-old from down the street at the front door, and he bangs because he wants to make sure that you know he's there. That's just how it is. So, anyway, all right, now that we're back, I did mention last week I wanted to talk about a video game, and I completely forgot about it last week, and so I am bringing it back this week. I wanted to mention a new game. Well, it's not new. It's new for me, but it's a game called Unepic, and this is available right now on Steam as an early access game. And what that means by early access, it means that the game is still in development, and you can buy it for $7.99 and play it and help them to develop the game. You can give suggestions, you can talk about what you like, what you don't like, and you can help shape the final version of the game. And so what is the game? The game is basically a what they call a Metroidvania game. If you remember the old console versions of Metroid and Castlevania, it's that side-scrolling move from, you know, area to area. You're looking for objects, defeating the bad guys. And that's basically what this game is. The graphics are very reminiscent of Terraria, which is one of my favorite games of all time. And in Unepic, you're basically playing a guy who is a Dungeons & Dragons fan, sits around with his friends, plays tabletop gaming. And one day he gets, like, pulled into this this supernatural world where there's this giant castle and these monsters and he's got to fight and all that kind of stuff. And part of, I think, the overall package that makes it so engaging is the fact that there is a massive multiplayer mode. You and, I think, like, up to 5 of your friends can play at the same time. And that really helps when you get into some of the boss battles. And some of the giant monsters, there are 7 giant monsters in the game, the big bosses that you get to go out. There's quests, there's side quests, there's pets, there's multiple difficulty levels, multiple endings, hundreds of different weapons, 70 different spells. I mean, just it's a massive game for an undertaking, and you can tell it's done by a very small group of people. It's very, I just love the art style of it. There's humor. It's just a really well done game. And the fact that it's not even entirely complete, I think it's just a great idea that you could jump in on this game now and help with the development. So if that's something you want to try, I mean, the game is stable. As far as if you buy it, you could sit down, play the single player game from beginning to end. But it's still in development, doing some of the balancing, doing some of the multiplayer aspects, trying to figure out how to make certain side quests work with multiplayers as opposed to single player, some of that type of stuff right there. So I would just say if you love that type of game, those Metroidvania type games, you want to check out just this awesome RPG, this great 2D art style, then check out Unepic on Steam. It's just a total blast, a lot of fun, and definitely worth your $8 is all it comes down to. So definitely you should check that out. All right, moving on. Let's see. We are going to talk a little bit of wrestling here. Let's talk about WWE Survivor Series is coming up this weekend. And let's see, right now, 6 matches are announced. Orton versus Big Show for the WWE title, Cena versus Del Rio for the world title, and CM Punk and Daniel Bryan versus Rowan and Harper, You get a traditional 10-man Survivor Series elimination match with the Usos, the Rhodes Brothers, and Rey Mysterio versus The Shield, Swagger, and Cesaro. There's a 14-woman elimination match with the Bella Twins, Naomi, Cameron, and Natalya, Eve Marie, and JoJo as Team Total Divas against the women not on Total Divas, AJ Lee, Snuka, Fox, Oksana, Summer Rae, Catelyn, and Rosa Mendez. Pre-show match will be Kofi Kingston versus The Miz. They are planning to give these matches a lot of time. They may stick one more match in there, but for the most part, that's really going to be the card. And they are having Bret Hart, Booker T, and Mick Foley be the match analysts that they go to in the analyst booth every so often throughout the pay-per-view. Let's see. The arena sellout number is about 12,000 tickets. Right now, they're about 500 tickets shy of selling out, but they expect it to be sold out by the time of the show. Keep that in mind, though. 12,000 is the sellout, so WWE will probably announce 15,000. Just because. That's what they do. They sell out. They legit sell out the show at 12,000, so they claim 15,000. The other thing to talk about from WWE is the launch of the WWE Network. The company informed the cable carriers, on the 18th of November, that they will be discontinuing the WWE 24/7 Classics on Demand channel in February. And it looks like February is going to be the window for launch of the new network. It's a premium subscription cable channel. You'll pay anywhere from $9.99 to $14.99 a month. They're still trying to figure that out. And actually, one rumor suggests that it may be distributed also through Netflix as a premium Netflix channel that you would pay on top of your Netflix in order to stream it, as well as through your cable operators. I'm not sure if that's just a rumor or if there's something to that, but I've heard that from a couple different places, so we'll see how that works out. The idea basically behind the channel, besides their scripted shows, the stuff that they have on YouTube now that they do, that fun type stuff, their old library of matches that they've picked up from all the smaller independent groups that they've swallowed up over the years. The other big thing, of course, is that they will offer the pay-per-views on their channel, on the WWE Network. One question has come up of whether or not they would offer WrestleMania, because WrestleMania is, of course, their top dollar pay-per-view of the year. It makes just millions of dollars. It's a very big deal for them. And whether or not they would allow that to be on their channel, you know, if you're going to sign up for a channel and pay, let's say, $9.95 a month and get WrestleMania, obviously you're going to save yourself a lot of money. And the question is whether or not people would continue to keep it throughout the year. They figure that they can get, if they get a million subscribers at $15 a month, they break even in a year. If they can get 1.5 million at $9.95 a month, then they just about break even. I'm not sure exactly how that works, but regardless, it's part of, you know, having enough people that they can sell advertising on the network, as well as the subscription fees that they would be recovering from having that product out there. So I guess, like, if they launch it in February as a push towards WrestleMania, the hope is that people will sign up for it and then just not think to cancel it and keep it for a couple months, realize they like it, and then just keep doing it. Let's see, here it is. They hired Matthew Singerman as the Executive Vice President of Programming. He reports directly to Vince McMahon. His role includes development of new content, including original reality programming, scripted programming for both television, digital, and primarily the network. He was a consultant in the early days of the NFL Network, Nuvo, Pivot, and Back 9. He was a key part in the early growth of the Fox News Channel. He was a senior vice president of programming at Reels and was a senior management partner in the TV Guide Network. So, I mean, this guy has done network launches. He's done content management for networks. So he's, you know, He's a guy who knows his stuff, and if someone can pull it off, that would be him. So your Classics on Demand is going away in February, and most likely that's because they are going to attempt to roll out the network. Now, again, whether or not that works, whether or not that's, you know, possible or true or, you know, whatever, that's something that remains to be seen of how, if they can pull it off and get it. But I think there are enough people that want to see, you know, even the old stuff, the World Class Championship Wrestling, the WCW, Florida Championship Wrestling, the ECW, just, you know, all that old stuff probably has enough draw that they might actually be able to, you know, pull in people for that. And especially if they're giving away, you know, pay-per-views on there as part of it. You know, there'd be B-level pay-per-views obviously aren't making the money that they would, so having a subscription-based channel is going to probably make more money in the long run. But whether or not a big one like WrestleMania makes sense on a network like that, that's really the question. That's what people want to know. Let's see. Let's turn to TNA quickly. Let's see. TNA returned to Orlando. They basically found a new soundstage in Orlando where they can do most of their filming. But because they picked this location rather quickly, trying to find a spot, they couldn't secure it for certain key dates that they have to run upcoming actual pay-per-views. They have a contract where they have to have so many pay-per-views a year within a certain date, and so scheduling was not going to work out with the soundstage where they are recording, so they are still going to go on the road a little bit at the end of the year and at some dates going into 2014, but the hope is by the end of 2014, back in Orlando at this soundstage where they are, not being part of Universal Studios. I don't know if that's going to make a difference or not, whether or not the crowds showing up are going to be TNA crowds, because one of the questions about why they left was whether or not a lot of the people getting seats at Universal Studios were just going because, hey, it was a TV thing. They weren't necessarily wrestling fans. So the hope is this will actually draw wrestling fans. But from what I've heard, it's a smaller building. The roof is much lower. So they really have to work to try not to show how small the building is. Only packs in about 600 people. So not a whole lot. But, you know, hopefully they can pull it off. As far as the show this week, TNA Impact, this was their turning point pay-per-view. And basically, this is the end of Aces and Eights. They've been teasing the breakup for a while. You thought it was going to happen, what, last week? And it didn't. It was a swerve. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. Whatever. You know, this is it. Mr. Anderson beat Bully Ray. They had one heck of a match. Let's kind of go through the card more or less in order. Let's see. The first match was Magnus versus Samoa Joe. They had a Falls Count Anywhere match. This was part of the TNA World Title Tournament. And let's see. Joe ended up charging at Magnus. Magnus moved out of the way. Joe ran into a chair. I mean, this was after they'd done stuff, you know, all over the building. And so Magnus covered him and got the pin. So Magnus gets the pin, but it's more Joe's fault for losing than Magnus being able to win. Gail Kim came out, called out, you know, someone from outside of TNA. So they called in Candice LeRae. And Gail Kim beat her in, you know, minute and a half, whatever. The idea with this storyline is that they are hoping they're going to bring in somebody from the indies that is a name that carries some sort of weight. And I don't know who that is. I don't know who they can pull in. Who's young, female wrestler, Lana Del Rey, maybe. I don't know. But they're going to bring in somebody, and she is going to be the one who defeats Gail Kim and starts a big feud there. Let's see. Bobby Roode, James Storm, they had what was called a Florida Death Match, which is basically a last man standing match. So again, lots of stuff going on. And chair shots, cane shots, trash can, just all sorts of stuff right there. This was a great match. I mean, if you're into the hardcore stuff. Now, some people, they don't like hardcore. They're afraid of the concussion syndrome and all that kind of stuff. They hate seeing matches like this. But really, for what it was a very good match. Ended up with Gunner running down and seeing just how beat up James Storm was. And he threw in the towel in order to save James Storm from taking more punishment. And this, of course, set up a feud between Storm and Gunner. So it looks like, as a tag team, those guys may be breaking up. They had Ethan Carter III come out, and he called out Shark Boy, defeated Shark Boy in a couple minutes. It was the same style match that you've seen with Ethan Carter III, but now with a somewhat stronger opponent in Shark Boy. But, I mean, it was Shark Boy back for one night. I don't think this is a big ongoing thing with Shark Boy. Mr. Anderson, Bully Ray, in a no DQ match. They had a bunch of guys come out onto the stage and watch this. You had Angle, you had Magnus, you had Joe, you had Bad Influence, you had Gunner. They all came out to see whether or not Aces and Eights was going to break up. And so basically, Nux came in and tried to get involved and cheat for his guy Ray. Wasn't able to pull it off. Got a hammer from Taz. Brooke grabbed the hammer that Taz had, tried to throw it in the ring, but she threw it too far. Anderson grabbed it, ended up hitting Bully with it. Got the mic check, got the pin. He took off the vest, the cut, as it's known, off of Bully Ray for Aces and Eights. And Taz refused to take his off, but Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, walked over, gave him the stink eye, and so he took it off. And Garrett Bischoff, I don't know what happened to Garrett Bischoff. I think he just ran off to hide. The match was okay. It wasn't as great, I don't think, as the earlier Florida death match, I guess they called it. That was a better match than this match here at the end, but it was still very good. I mean, it was solid. Nothing spectacular, but nothing terrible in it either. But that's the end of Aces and Eights. So they are over. They are done. That storyline is gone. And hopefully the idea is they have some new villains that they can move in to that spot. Now, regarding the sale of TNA, this is the last little bit of news we'll talk about here. The sale of TNA, there are a couple different companies that have been rumored to want to take over. One is led by Eric Bischoff, but that's not happening. There were rumors that Billy Corgan, formerly of the Smashing Pumpkins, who now runs his own small-time wrestling fed up around the Chicago area, he might be interested. That's not happening. It looks like the money bet right now is, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but it looks like Endemol. E-N-D-E-M-O-L is the name of the company. They are a content production company. They basically make shows and then sell those shows to networks to play. So they're responsible for shows like One Versus 100, Deal or No Deal, Big Brother, a lot of those like kind of reality-based game show type things they're involved in. But they're a global company, not just the United States. So when you see Deal or No Deal UK and Deal or No Deal US, it's the same company. Endemol is producing both of them, excuse me, and then selling them to the different networks here in the United States. So they are a content creation production company that oversees the making of these shows that then go out. And the reason why this company looks to be the one that is most closely eyeing the purchase of TNA is because they do have ties with Jeff Jarrett. A couple years ago, TNA was involved in the production of a wrestling program in India called, Raw Ka King? Ring Ka King, something like that. I forget exactly what it was. But it was set, it filmed in India, used a lot of TNA stars. And one of the main guys, there's a driving force behind that, was Jeff Jarrett. And all the talks about the sale of TNA, it says that the one person who seems to have the most clout and has the best deal on the books and closest to maybe signing something is Jeff Jarrett. Where is Jeff Jarrett going to get the money for this? Where is Jeff Jarrett going, because Jeff Jarrett was the force behind creating TNA in the first place in the ashes of WCW. So how, if Jeff Jarrett has lost the company now to Panda Energy and the Carters, how is he going to get the capital in order to come in and try to get TNA back? Well, he has connections with Endemol. Endemol creates media to be sold to networks. And Endemol has just started a new online development push where they're going to create videos for AOL Video, MSN Video, YouTube, Daily Motion. They have deals. They're working out deals, and they just hired a new guy who used to work at, Maker Network, I think it was. They just hired this guy to come in and be their development push. So they're pushing this new kind of digital outlet for television where it might be on a traditional television network or cable channel, but then also it'll be online. Online video now has commercials, it has corporate sponsorships. It's, you know, a show on YouTube can be just as commercial as a show you're watching on a network. The only difference is the network is YouTube and not NBC. So it looks as if Endemol is making this push for more content, not only to sell to networks, but also to push online. They were part of that TNA crossover in India for that television series that happened over there with professional wrestling. And they are closely tied with Jeff Jarrett. Of course, Jeff Jarrett wanting to get control of TNA back. So if you're looking for a company that could be the one behind that, that would be Endemol. And Jeff Jarrett would then be the guy who would be their main push. He would be their guy in the company. He'd be calling the shots. So whether or not you think a Jeff Jarrett pushing the shots TNA is better than a Dixie Carter calling the shots TNA, I mean, that's up to you. You can decide where you stand as far as that goes. But it looks like if I had money, if there was a betting ring in Vegas taking money on who is going to buy TNA, I'd be putting money on Endemol right now. That would be the company. Endemol. So that's your scoops if it looks like that's who it's going to be sold to. So, all right, just a couple notes of upcoming shows. Again, don't forget next week, Black Friday. If you have a Black Friday story, if there's something specific you're going to go out and try to get, or if you get something on Black Friday and you just got to share it with the world, send me an email, dirt@popculturenetwork.com. Tweet it to me @PCN_dirt. Or call our 24-hour voicemail line, area code 217-953-4025. Upcoming shows. We had a request from somebody to cover all of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Same way I did Friday the 13th a couple weeks back. Same way I did Halloween movies. They want to see Nightmare on Elm Street. So I'll probably do those. Maybe push that a little closer to Christmas time. Actually, I don't know why, but it just tickles my fancy to think about doing a Nightmare on Elm Street recap episode just in time for Christmas. That just works out. I don't know why. I take perverse joy in that. Also, coming up, we are going to talk a little bit about tablets, just discussing some of the different tablets. I was counting the other day, and I think over the course of the last, I don't know, 2-3 years, I've probably had about 10 different tablets that I've used, and I've settled myself down on 3 of them for now, and I may actually cut back to 2 here, but I get tablets, I buy tablets, I sell them, I give them away as gifts, give them to the kids, give them to my in-laws, you know, whatever. I just look like playing with them, comparing them, contrasting them, get one for my wife. You know, my wife gets a different tablet than anything I have, so I play with her tablet as much as she does, if not a little more when she's not around. And, I've everything from, cheap Kobe brand tablet I bought at Toys R Us to Kindle Fire to Nook Color to Nook HD to Acer Iconia W3 running Windows 8 to Asus Mimo Pad 10-inch tablet. I mean, I've just everything except iPad. I just hate iOS. I refuse to use it. I will never dip my toe in those waters. But pretty much everything else I've kind of sampled here and there. So that's something that we'll talk about in the next upcoming weeks. Because some of you guys have said you wanted to talk about some tech stuff. And you like talking about some of that kind of stuff. So we'll put some notes together and bring that up for discussion. And again, if there's something else you want to see discussed, if there's some other topic that you want to see covered on this show, then make sure, email me, dirt@popculturenetwork.com, tweet PCN_dirt, or call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. And again, thanks for listening, guys. I'll talk to you next time.